Oregon State head coach Pat Casey covered a lot of topics at his recent media day, starting with the makeup of his team as they prepare to start the 2011 season.
It'll be a little bit of a challenge early because we have, I believe, 9 freshmen and sophomore pitchers on our staff. Therefore, a little bit of inexperience there, but I expect this to be a club that's going to have to be competitive at the plate to score runs. I think we're going to have to be creative. Defense is something that we've always emphasized. I think we'll be a good defensive club. I think we'll have a lot better team speed than we had last year. I think we'll be a better team defensively in the outfield than we were last year. Got a few similar faces back defensively in the infield. So, I think I put it on the shoulders of the players to find out what kind of club they want to have.
Casey says complacency will hold some Beavers back this year while others have stood out early on.
There's competition going on, and I think it's going to be a surprise to a couple guys that are supposed to be guys for us that won't be starting because of their lack of intensity and their satisfaction with themselves. So I think you're going to see some guys that are supposed to be in the lineup that won't be in the lineup. And then I think you'll see some guys that you probably never heard of that just pulled up and said, hey, I'm looking for a place to play that'll be in the lineup. And they'll stay in the lineup until those guys decide they want to play hard and get engaged in what we're doing. And so we did it last year. We'll do it again this year. And I think that I'm excited about the fact that Carter Bell's returning and kind of leading our infield. Big, big makeup as far as how he goes about his business. I see a noticeable difference about how he attacks the game and what he thinks he can do.
How about the new bats and bat standards in college baseball this season?
Well, I think it's affected the guy's mental state of mind more than anything else because everybody wants to be a professional sooner than they should be. And that's why usually, there's an issue with that. But if you ask them, one of the things you have to do in professional baseball, you have to swing with wood. So the closer it gets to wood, the more satisfied they should be. So I would think they'd be excited about the bat. I don't think it's going to do anything other than try to bring the game closer to the pro game than anything else. I mean, I don't see any big difference. The ball's not going to jump off the bat with the exit velocity like it did before, but people don't remember these young guys that back in the late 90s, mid-90s, these guys were hitting balls out of orbit. I mean, it was ridiculous, and they were minus fives, and then they went down, and everybody thought, oh, no, nothing's going to happen, and then you adjust to that bat, and all of a sudden now they think that bat's juiced, and now we're going to adjust to another bat, and I think that it's good for the game. I think it's difficult on bat companies that got to fix it every year and do that kind of stuff, but I do believe it's good for the game. I believe it'll make people work a little harder offensively as how to get the sweet spot to the ball and how to make some things happen, and maybe it'll make a little guy like Max Gordon more valuable, person that can get on base and is willing to take pitches and stay inside balls and hit balls on the screws and do all that kind of stuff.
For years, Casey and his Beavers had the state of Oregon to themselves, but he says the addition of Oregon, which in its third season back is a preseason top 10 team, makes the already tough Pac-10 even tougher.
If you follow the Pac-10, the history of the Pac-10, I believe the conference has more championships, national championships, than anybody, all other conferences combined. Therefore, I mean, it speaks for itself as far as the competitiveness and how the elite teams continue to show up in Omaha. I think when we were in Omaha, I know Arizona State was there twice, and I'm not positive, but I think there was always two Pac-10 teams. I know Stanford was there, I think, right after us. But it just keeps getting better and better. And when you add another team like Oregon and the facilities they've had down there, you just add another quality team. And I think from top to bottom, like I said the other day, there's really no team that you just count on that you're just going to go out and beat every weekend, that they're just too good to feel like there's a cakewalk. I think if you're in the ACC, for example, I think is a good baseball conference, but I also know there's some schools that don't have full scholarships, such as Maryland. You have Duke that doesn't put the same emphasis on baseball as they do basketball. So you have some teams that I feel like are teams that maybe you feel like you could get well on a weekend, so not in the Pac-10, and it's just great to see all the teams that are ranked in the Pac-10 early, just because I think that it helps our conference and our RPI from last year. It was kind of funny, we had the third highest RPI in the conference last year, behind UCLA, Arizona State, and then we were third, and we didn't finish third in the conference. So it just tells you, if you play a tough out-of-conference schedule and you do well against teams you should do well against, that your RPI, and that's one of the highest conference RPIs I think there has been in a long time for the Pac-10, and that's why we got 8 teams in, and it's just going to be great every year.
And finally, Casey discusses the importance of leadership and being a team player.
Our players selected 3 captains, Carter Bell, Parker Berberet, and Jimmy Nygren. Thought of great selections. Leadership is a very difficult thing because it's easy to be a leader when things are going well. It's very difficult to be a leader when things are not going well. And I always say that the separator from being a great player like Darwin Barney is that you make other people around you better. There's people here that have been very good players, but have never touched greatness because they didn't have the desire or the passion to make somebody else around them better. If I called every guy on the 2005 World Series team and asked them what Jacoby Ellsbury hit, there isn't one guy that could tell me what his batting average is, but they could tell you what kind of teammate he was. If I ask you who the leader of that club was, they could tell you in a heartbeat. They couldn't tell you what his batting average is, but they could tell you his name. So as important as batting average seems to be to some people and the prestige of having a lot of things written about them, at the end of the day, the people you need to answer to when you walk out the door are the people you're going to remember for the rest of your life, and that's your teammates. That's why I love to see Cole Gillespie come back here, and Andy Jenkins and Darwin Barney and Turpin, and I could go on and on. I don't want to forget anybody. But those guys didn't win the way they won because they had the most talent. They won because they had talent, but they had, I felt like, the greatest character of any club in Omaha, in particular in 06. Did we have as much talent as North Carolina? You'd have to go talk to the scouting directors of America to find out that, because they got drafted first, second, third, fifth, and our guys battled them. And they were a great club, and I have nothing to say but good things about them. But I think collectively as a team, we had more of a passion to win the game than we did to figure out where we were going to get drafted. Whereas last year, I felt like we had a lot of guys knew exactly where they were going to be drafted or how they were going to be drafted and who was going to draft them. And, you know, I'm just glad I'm so illiterate when it comes to the computer that I wouldn't know Baseball America from collegiate baseball to this, that, and the other when it comes to finding out where you're ranked and all that stuff, you know, as a player. I'm happy for all those guys. I want them to do well. But I think that a lot of kids are putting the cart before the horse and, you know, not enjoying their college experience. Great experience, man. I mean, I wish there was less distractions. And some guys do a good job of it and some guys don't. I remember Cole Gillespie walking in here, and Cole Gillespie, his freshman year, he couldn't throw the ball across the diamond. And I was talking to his dad, and he said, hey, is he going to play short or third? And I said, well, he might play first, you know. Oh, no. And I saw this guy 89 miles an hour as a junior. You know, he couldn't throw the ball across the diamond. Well, we found out that he was hurt. You know, he'd thrown so many innings in high school. You know, Monday he'd pitch, Wednesday he'd play short, Friday he'd pitch, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, this guy never once worried about his draft status. He just worried about getting the lineup. The guy's a big leaguer now. Ended up being a second-round pick of the Milwaukee Brewers and blew past everybody else that was worried about everything that's not important.